That's so Braven. If you don't listen to this podcast, you know what happens? You get it.
Okay. I feel good about that.
All right, so welcome to That's So Braven. This is going to be a special Thanksgiving-themed episode, as I am simultaneously talking about Survivor Series while cooking a 20-pound turkey, an innovative take on cornbread muffins, and some stuffing. So yeah, we're hosting a little get-together here tonight, so I'm going to get two birds stoned at once. But before we get into the show that I just described to Drew as like rinsing your mouth out with Listerine before sitting down for Thanksgiving dinner, we're going to turn it over to our sponsors real quick. Tom and Chi Granville and Grand Rapids Comic Con. But this one's a little focused on Tom and Chi Granville, just getting those plugs in. Once again, this is Ben Raven, Court of Nerds Network. That's So Braven. We're going to talk about WWE Survivor Series.
Hey guys, it's Drew. Tom and Chi Granville is back with some impressive meal deals. Here's what you can look forward to if you stop by and get cheesy. If you're always searching for the kids' menu, look no further than Tom and Chi, where kids under 12 eat free from 4 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday, or enjoy half-off grilled cheese donuts every Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. And if you download the free Tom and Chi app, pop in every Thursday and get $3 classic grilled cheese sandwiches. Tom and Chi is also proud to support Chia. I think that's how I say it. A locally made vegan cheese that tastes so good, cows are starting to get jealous. Find Tom and Chi on 44th Street in Granville, near Cabela's.
All right, but my goodness, WWE Survivor Series. Where to start? I guess I'll start with the beginning. This was one hell of a card on paper, you know? Gosh, wow, that show actually started with the Shield vs. New Day, and Shield vs. New Day was pretty much everything I thought it was going to be, except I was really impressed with like the last 5 minutes of that match. I just remember, okay, these guys are turning it on, and turning it on they did. That Shield bomb off the top rope was the way to welcome Roman back to pay-per-view and welcome him back to the Shield. Like I said, I'm cooking a Thanksgiving dinner at the same time, so this is an interesting episode, but what do you come to expect? So yeah, that match was great. Miz and Corbin, I gotta be honest, I kinda skipped through that one just a little bit, because I watched NXT War Games starting at like 6:15, so I watched that, the fast style. Amazing show. Oh, that War Games match was fantastic. Of all the NWA, WCW gimmick matches to bring back, that was the one. I mean, that was awesome. They executed it to perfection. That was one of the best weapons matches of the year. And I'm just happy to know, I mean, I did a little research after the show. I mean, Dave Meltzer tweeted that exact thing of a Wrestling Observer newsletter, best weapons match of the year. And hard to disagree with that, because it was just fantastic. It was like three different matches, and probably more than three different matches in one, but just hats off to all those guys involved. I loved that Roderick Strong came out in the Authors of Pain gear. I like that that's becoming a new trend, like Triple H and Angle dressed up as the Shield. Just kind of cool. It's good stuff. The title match, Almas beat Drew McIntyre for the NXT title, and strange finish, great match. It looked like Drew tore his bicep. I haven't looked at the dirt sheets yet to see if he actually did, but I think I saw him mouth the words to the doctor. I just tore my bicep. It looked bad. He was clutching at it. But you know what? Whether it was supposed to go down that way or not, Almas, man, he is crisp. He's crisp. That dude makes it look easy. I think people don't appreciate how good he is because of how easy he makes it look. He's one of those guys. So hats off. Hats off to NXT for a great show. Aleister Black vs. Velveteen Dream surprisingly caught my attention big time. The women's fatal four-way, you know, the Mae Young Classic winner. She kind of missed her cue a little bit on a tag breakup. Went for it pretty hard and hit Peyton Royce in the knee pretty hard. Couldn't tell if, you know, that was just kind of sloppy to me. It kind of distracted me during the end of that match. But, Ember Moon hitting that eclipse like she did. Holy smokes, that was fantastic on both of them. Thought that was great. Yeah, solid NXT show. But back to Survivor Series. I mean, I skipped through Miz and Corbin a little bit just to catch up. And I was not surprised to see that if it was going to have a finish, that it went to Baron Corbin. That makes sense, you know. What else we have? The women's 5-on-5. Oh yeah, that's right. I'm extremely disappointed in how the women's 5-on-5 and how the men's 5-on-5 match went. I was so excited for this match. And just, man. And yeah, Asuka and Raw won, but here's my thing. Asuka's not getting the chance to show her repertoire, show her moveset, show what made her the Empress of Tomorrow, what had her have a 500-day plus NXT championship streak. You know? I mean, we're not seeing much. We're only getting teased little pieces here. I mean, I think it's great that she beat Tamina and Natalya as the last three women standing. That was kind of cool. Some other standouts of the match. Becky getting eliminated early was brilliant, and it was executed to perfection. I was just thinking, wow, this is the best Bayley's looked in a long time. Like, she looks fantastic tonight. She's moving great. You know, her timing is spot on and all that. But, and then they eliminated her with Tamina. And Tamina was one of the last three standing. But, whatever. Alicia Fox got eliminated in a weird way. It looked like the ref or her messed up. I don't know. She was out, and then all of a sudden Sasha Banks was tapping somebody out. It was just kind of a mess, a convoluted mess. Just kind of disappointed in how that went. You know, there was a lot of promise with the early Becky elimination. It was kind of exciting. It's kind of disappointing, even though I called it Natalya being the surprise person. Like, I like Natalya's work. I always have. It's not against that. It's just like, of course that was a surprise entrant. But, yeah. Disappointed. But Asuka wins. Doesn't get to show much besides a couple kicks and her weird Baba Bomb into the Asuka lock. I'm not sure how I feel about that yet. But, I just want to see her have a match. And, yeah. Besides that, what do we have? Oh, yeah, the Bar versus the Usos. Man, the Usos are performing at the highest levels of their career. My God, the Usos are doing it right now. Like, really doing it. The finish to that match with one tag in the other as the other splashes the outside as the one splashes the inside. What a finish. What a finish. Jimmy and Jay are performing at the highest levels of their career, the most consistent levels of their career. Cesaro and Sheamus are money together. Just tag team wrestling is back, you know? It's weird. It's different, but it's back. We don't even have the Revival right now. Gosh. But yeah. And then, oh, mama. The AJ Styles. Oh, no, sorry. Charlotte Flair versus Alexa Bliss. This got time. This got some serious time. And both women got to show off why they're the only two women to hold titles on both shows. Charlotte looked dominant and strong in the beginning, and Alexa, starting with the nasty arm drag off the apron onto the floor, worked the shoulder, worked Charlotte's back, just healed it up. But props to both those women. That was a fantastic match. I was really impressed with that. Charlotte gets the win with the figure eight, one of 1,900 million tap outs on this very night. But yeah, the women's match was fantastic, and then we've got the men's match. AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar. Wow. It was fantastic. I mean, that's all I can say is that AJ was made to look like he should have looked, and Brock looked the best he has in a long time, because imagine this. They put him with somebody whose skills don't mirror his style, but compliment it. AJ Styles made Brock Lesnar look like a world killer. Those suplexes, the belly-to-bellies, the Germans, just absolutely filthy. Brock dominating the first 8 to 9 minutes of that match was genius. And then AJ slowly worked his way back, slowly fought back, and had 1.5 million false finishes on Brock. I was so impressed with what they did with this match. So impressed. About as impressive as this stuffing smells. But, no, that was fantastic. I thought the finish was great. I called the finish on our preview show. I think it was just the one with Drew and John and I, not the one with Steve Orlando. But, yeah, thanks to Steve Orlando again for coming on, if he's listening. It's cool. Hope to have you on again. Talk more wrestling, longer periods of time. But, yeah, that AJ Brock match. There was a lot of hype for that match. There was a lot of anticipation. And I gotta say, they did exactly what they needed to do. I don't know if it was planned this way, but that match, once it got to the outside of the ring, eerily felt like the matches AJ had with Abyss and TNA. I think it was back. It was early because it was on the first AJ Styles Phenomenal One disc set from TNA, and some of those matches were fantastic. And AJ flying all over the place and throwing the Phenomenal Elbow and 4-foot splashing and just kicking. I mean, it was great. It was fantastic. It was hard hitting. It got time. It was on the inside. It was on the outside. AJ took over at some points. Brock took over at most points. And one of the best submission counters I've seen in a while from both of them. AJ freaking going into the calf crusher, and then Brock doing what Baron Corbin had been doing when he got in that move, and he'd get out, smashing AJ's head on the mat. But Baron Corbin ain't Brock Lesnar. So anyone who's got a problem with Brock Lesnar needs to shut the up, because if they put him in the right situations, that guy is a world killer. And he's, my God, he is so good. He's people forget how good Brock is, and how talented Brock is, and how athletic Brock is. For real. That ain't just a big dude. I mean, that's a big dude, but that just ain't a big dude. All right, going on to the men's 5-on-5 match. I feel like they're taunting message boards sometimes. And this match felt like a taunting to the message boards. Felt like a taunt to people who consider themselves educated wrestling fans, who consider themselves marks, smarks, whatever the fuck you want to call it. People that know the game. Shinsuke Nakamura for Team SmackDown. And we're tied up going into this match between Raw and SmackDown, so winner wins it all. Shinsuke Nakamura is the first person eliminated. I believe it went with Braun, Shinsuke, and then Bobby Roode, and just like that, all of a sudden it was freaking Randy Orton, Shane McMahon, versus Triple H, Braun Strowman, Kurt Angle, and Finn, and then Finn was gone. It ended up being Shane, versus Triple H, versus Kurt Angle, versus Braun Strowman. And let me just say, it was an alright match. There's nothing compared to last year's main event. Wow, what a match. But there were some cool moments. It was nice to see Triple H and Joe kind of be on the same team. I remember when Triple H did his glorious suck it, I looked at Joe and he like giggled like a fan in the background. I thought that was awesome. Triple H and Nakamura going for a second was cool. And Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle always had great chemistry, so it was nice to be reminded of that. But just disappointing. And then the weird, stupid finish. It's always got to be about Triple H. It's always got to be about Shane when they're involved. Like, I just don't get it. Triple H pretends to protect Shane from Braun because he pedigreed Kurt Angle and got Shane to pin Kurt, and then blah, 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 and then Triple H double-crossed Shane, or whatever you want to call it, pedigreed him and covered him, but he wanted to be the one that pinned him for Team Raw. So Triple H made the winning pin on Shane, and then he, like, pretends to be buddy-buddy with Braun in the ring, holding his hands up for an extended period of time. Braun and Triple H were celebrating in the ring for a long time, and then it happened. Braun power slammed him and, like, choked Triple H in the corner, and don't ever do that again, don't ever use me, or something like that again. And Triple H looks terrified. I mean, he sold it brilliantly. It looked like he was crying and thought he was going to die. So that was very cool. But this match had so much more potential to be an amazing match. There was another way to set up this feud. Unless you're really about to give me the Stone Cold-esque Braun Strowman versus the Authority type feud. Like, if the Authority and Triple H and Stephanie and so-and-so and so forth and Shane are working against Braun Strowman, trying to keep him from winning the Royal Rumble, trying to get him from the main event at WrestleMania, trying to keep him from the title, then that's awesome. Because then you've got a Stone Cold-esque character here. A Stone Cold, a Daniel Bryan-esque storyline. If you could do that with this, then I'll swallow the pill of you wasting an opportunity to put AJ and Brock on last and a chance to put on a really, really, really interesting 5-on-5 match instead. It felt like a 2000 WCW swerve on a swerve on a swerve on a swerve on a swerve. Like, where was David Arquette's spear? That's the only thing. I mean, it gets to that point now with the McMahons and Triple H when they get involved. It just gets... It's not that I don't love Triple H, and it's not that I don't find Shane exciting because he's a bump king. I mean, he's a daredevil. He makes it exciting. He does. And Braun throwing him across the ring at the start of the match and seeing the laugh from Triple H and the... Whatever, but I'm just saying. I wanted to see Nakamura in there longer. I wanted to see Joe in there longer. I wanted to see Bobby Roode in there longer. Survivor Series, to me, is one of those shows when you can build and create stars. Or at least get them on the path to do that. And WWE has not utilized that enough in recent years. In a very long time. And this was just another night for that. So, I don't really know how to... I mean, the match of the weekend... The singles match of the weekend was AJ vs. Brock. The best tag match of the weekend was probably Uso and Barr. And the best Survivor Series elimination match was... Excuse me. Oh, God, what was it? Huh. I don't know how to pick the... I guess the men's match was better than the women's match because I felt the women's match to be more disappointing. I just... There's so much talent on that roster and I just don't feel like they're utilizing it. Like, I'm sorry. Tamina doesn't do it for me. The Nia Jax count out was just so predictable. I want to see Bayley. I want to see Sasha Banks. I want to see Asuka. I want to see Becky Lynch. God. They're taking away the people we want to see. Whatever. I was very disappointed in Survivor Series. You know, it was a very, very, very solid show, but it was one of those cards that made you kind of salivate a little bit. Curious to see what happens with Braun and Triple H on Raw. If they go super forward with this storyline, I'd say, and I've been saying it for months, Braun Strowman's going to win the Royal Rumble. I don't feel like there's another option. A couple predictions I'll make going forward. Finn and Joe will continue to feud because, okay, I mean, it'll be good matches, so I'll shut up and take it. I don't think we have a Raw pay-per-view until Royal Rumble. So it's actually kind of interesting. I think the next pay-per-view is Clash. That's SmackDown. So I'd say we're probably going to get our AJ Jinder match there. Which, whatever. They had a... AJ's the only guy that's made Jinder's finishing move look good. But, sorry, I got off track. Raw tonight. I'm excited to watch it. I think we'll see a lot of Triple H and Braun and Stephanie and Kurt stuff. Disappointed Jason Jordan didn't get involved. Build me a face or build me a heel. Here's a chance to build a guy as a heel. This guy's talented. Stick with him. Okay. Whatever. But hey, if you didn't check out our talk with Steve Orlando, we talked broadly a bunch of shit. Yeah, we talked some Survivor Series, but he's DC Comics writer for Justice League America and Supergirl. Check that one out, thecourtofnerds.com. Yeah, just if you want to go back and see how wrong we were about Survivor Series, that one's up on thecourtofnerds.com, but this has been That's So Braven, and go watch that War Games match. Go watch that Almas McIntyre match. Go watch that Dream and Black match. Go watch that AJ Brock match. Those are my four favorite things from the weekend. Love the NXT show. Wish I could have watched that Saturday night. But Survivor Series, you know, just a lot of what ifs, it feels like. But I'm excited to see what they're going to do. If it's going to finally make Braun a star, then I'll swallow the pill.